Hallelujah. May it be well with your soul.
Our gospel reading for today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And you can find this on page 72 in your pew Bible. Luke 11, 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door's already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And our epistle lesson comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. This you can find on page 200 in your pew Bible. Colossians 2, 6 through 15. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Two very powerful scriptures. The one that we count on daily when we pray. The other, in that gospel reading, one, we know how to pray. Why? Because Jesus taught us how to pray.
It talks about the relationship we have with God the Father. It tells us that as we seek, we will find. As we ask, we will receive. Knock and the door shall be opened. It tells us that we should have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of expectation, an attitude of anticipation. When we ask for things, to believe and have faith that God will provide them. Now, it may be that it takes a while. It may be that it's not in the way that we anticipated. You know, the little boy who's praying every night for a puppy dog, or praying every night for a kitty cat, or something like that. You've all stood over either a son, a daughter, or a grandchild, or a great-grandchild, and heard him pray. And they pray for things like puppy dogs and red wagons and things of that nature. How much more is God the Father, who knows every need, not just our wants, truly needs, how much better He knows us, and how much more can we anticipate getting, receiving from Him? Well, that's the gospel story from Luke. And again, there's a corollary in Mark that talks about the prayer as well. But today, and we're continuing with Paul's letter to the Colossians. And you guys have got your bulletins there, and I urge you to open that bulletin of yours. And if you look on the inside, you've got a space in there. There's a good long empty spot in your bulletin. Not that we need to waste anything, but what I want you to do is there, and if you look in your pew, there's a pencil or one of those writing instruments. And I want you to pick up at least 3 points from today's message. And again, if you turn in your pew Bibles to page 200 is where we begin. And the first point that I want you to write down is continue to live rooted and built up. This comes from verse 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Well, the interesting thing here is he says, continue to live your life rooted in and built up. Well, all right. How many of you remember we're to walk by faith? We're to be walking in the path of Christ Jesus. We're to be following His examples in our lives. That's movement. Well, how many of you know that those trees out there, well rooted, how many of them move? They're not. That's where they draw their nutrients. They get their enrichment. What? From roots that are sunk deep into the earth. And because they're sunk deep in the earth, what do they not do? They don't move. But you and I are called to walk by faith. You and I are called to walk into the world. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel. We're not told to sit in one place and not move. We're told to move. Yet we're to be rooted in and built up. What's the other thing? When you build something, you get a nice, good foundation and you build upon that foundation. Is that going to move? No. Again, so there's a challenge in what Paul is telling the Colossians. He says, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith. Now, a tree can't do that. It has to remain in place, rooted. A building has to remain on that foundation or it falls apart. But we live or walk as rooted in and built up in whom? In Jesus. We're rooted in Jesus. We're following His path. We're rooted in Jesus. We're built up on Jesus. That's our faith. That's who we count on. That's who we depend on. That's who we look to when we want to find out where it is that we're supposed to be going, how it is we're supposed to live our lives, and how it is we're supposed to respond to our brothers and sisters and to those needs and challenges. We walk by faith. We're rooted in faith and built upon our faith. The other piece is, it said, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. You know, the established in the faith, the thing is, Christ Jesus has already done on that cross everything that we need for our salvation. He paid the penalty for our sin. You and I can have an absolute faith that there is nothing that you or I can do or could do to earn our place in that book of life. Jesus did it. But you and I have to confess with our lips, believe in our hearts. We must have the foundations of our life sunk deep in Jesus. This establishment is taking part in the already established kingdom work Christ has completed. Not that He's at work doing it. He has already completed it. You and I have been saved, but you and I are not. He is not done with us yet. There's this thing of moving on to perfection that John Wesley believed, that process of sanctification, in that Christ does not leave us where He finds us. Just like that woman at the well, He didn't leave her there. She was living with how many men, and the one that she was living with was not her husband. Or the woman who was brought before Him who'd been caught in adultery. He didn't leave her as she was. He said, go and sin no more. We must have the foundations of our life sunk in Jesus. We're urged to keep building the structure of our life in Jesus until it comes to completion. We're allowing Christ Jesus to come into our lives. When we pray to Christ Jesus, when we pray to God the Father, when we feel the Holy Spirit entering into our lives, this is all just part one. This is just point one. We need to keep ourselves rooted and built up in what? In our faith in Christ Jesus, who has already done everything that's necessary for our salvation. But He's not done with us yet. All this is faith. And the last part of 7, just as you were taught, abounding in what? Thanksgiving. We give thanks, not just for the things that we get. We give thanks that God Himself deemed it appropriate to come and rescue us from sin. Not to leave us where we started. Point number 2. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. Verse 9, for in Him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. In other words, in Christ Jesus' body, God in fullness dwells. The sermon last week was in the fullness of God. The fullness of God is there in Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of God. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And nothing was created without Him. And the Word took on flesh and came and dwelt among us. Christ Jesus in that body. For in Him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. And you have come to fullness in Him. You and I are always going to be something short of the plan that God has for us. If we count on our own capabilities, if we lean on our own understanding, we're going to come up short. I don't understand why the violence and the insanity occurs in this world. I don't understand it. How can people do what they've done to each other the way they have? For the reasons that they have. It escapes me. But I know who has a plan. And in Him the fullness of the deity dwells. That's everything of God. Everything in the fullness dwells in Jesus. And you and I can dwell in the fullness in Him. Who is the head of every ruler, authority? In Him also you and I were circumcised. Not circumcision of the flesh. But we're circumcised in a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you are So there's circumcision, which was a rite, the Jewish tradition, circumcision. They were circumcised physically, bodily on that eighth day. That made them children of Abraham. You and I count of the circumcision of Christ. That is our salvation. That makes us children of God. Not a circumcision of the flesh, but a circumcision of the heart. We surrender our hearts. And when you are buried with him, this is verse 12, when you're buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him. Verse 13 is the really salient part of the second part. And when you were dead in trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave all your trespasses. When you and I find ourselves at the end of our ropes, when we are in despair, when there is nothing else we can do because we have exhausted all of our intellect, we have exhausted all of our resources, we have exhausted all of everything that you and I got that we count us. And we look to the one who has truly done it all. That woman who was brought before Jesus, who'd been caught in adultery, and these men are just waiting to stone her. She's not getting out of there alive on her own. She's been caught. She's guilty. Now, where's the guy? Nobody asked that question. It takes two to tango. But the woman is there. She's brought before Jesus Christ. She's not getting out of there. Those guys are picking up the stones. They're getting ready to stone her. And what does he say? He doesn't pontificate. He doesn't give them some theological question. He says, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." How simple. There had to have been something in the way he said it, because every one of them had to have looked at him and said, I have someplace else I need to be. Plop, there goes a stone. I don't think anybody else knows that about me, but plop, there goes another stone. And before you know it, there's nobody there. And Jesus all the time has just been brawn in the dirt. And he looks up and there's nobody there. And he says, "Who's here to accuse you?" "No one." "Well, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more." When we're dead to these trespasses and this uncircumcision of our flesh, God makes us alive together with him when he forgives us all our trespasses. Verse 14. Erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. You don't think Satan knows every one of our sins? You don't think Satan at that judgment day is going to be sitting there like a prosecuting attorney, just ready to lambaste each and every one of your lengthy, sordid list of sin? Erasing that record that stood against us with its legal demands, he set this aside, nailing it to the cross. Who did that? God did. God did that in Christ Jesus Christ. So we have, first and foremost, we are to continue our lives and build up our lives. What? In our faith in Christ Jesus. He's the foundation of our lives and our existence. The second point is that we should be not thinking about the philosophical or the intellectual things. We're not following the stars and resorting to, gee, what does my horoscope say for today? What are the stars? How are they aligned? Gee, goodness gracious, I will look at the horoscope to determine what I'm going to do with the next day. No, I'm looking at Christ Jesus. I'm looking at what he has done for me. That all of my sins, all of the things that would be held against me, everything that forces me into this death and despair and darkness has been what? Nailed to the cross and left. Paid in full. Three nails. Paid in full. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. You know, Christ Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate is the ruler of Rome. He's the face of Rome. He's the face of the emperor in Jerusalem, in Judea at that point in time. Not King Herod and not Caiaphas, but Pontius Pilate. He's the governor. He's the voice of Rome. And Jesus is brought before him. And in one of the accounts, it says that Pontius Pilate really couldn't find anything to condemn him. And he really wanted him to say something so that he would be able to let him loose and not force upon him that which Caiaphas and Herod was asking. Pontius Pilate looks at him and questions him, and he says, "Have you nothing to say? Don't you understand that I have the power over life and death over you? I'm the one who can judge you. I'm the one who has power over your very life and death." And what does Jesus say? "You have no power over me, not given you by God the Father." I mean, here's a man who knows that Pontius Pilate can order his death and will and does. Why? Because the crowd, when Pontius Pilate says, "What should I do with him?" And the crowd cries out, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him." Jesus goes to the cross, goes to the grave. Pilate's won, right? It's not how the story ends. Wait 3 days. Empty tomb. Christ Jesus has done that for you and for me. Therefore, now this is when we finish here, he set aside nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made public example of them. Are you there on that page in your Bibles? Because what I want to do is I want to continue with 17 through 19, because they are the third point. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, for observing festival, new moons and Sabbaths. We're not to let anyone else condemn us for not following any of these dietary restrictions or ceremonial restrictions. We're not under that. We're under grace. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by human thinking. But we're to hold fast. Hold fast to the head. Nourished from the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments, sinews, grows in the growth that is God. We're to be following God, Christ Jesus. You guys have seen me walk around with this Wesley Study Bible. And one of the interesting things about this is throughout there are Wesleyan core themes. But there's also a life application topic. And for today, this is the life application topic. It's called steadfast love. The Colossian church was doing battle with heresy. People were counting on intellect and science and the stars and magic. The threat was from those who questioned the adequacy of Christ while promoting aesthetic practices and angel worship. They'd mistaken the notion that all matter was evil and therefore incarnate Christ was inferior to the angels, because God dwelled fully in Jesus. So if it's body, then it can't be God in the human way of thinking. Yeah, absolutely. But no. God is fully man in Jesus. And Jesus incorporates man fully in him. Us, you and I, fully in Christ Jesus. Paul reminds us that not only is Christ the head of the universe and the church, but is also through his sacrificial physical death on the cross that we were reconciled to God. So the message is clear. Stay true to Christ. Don't chase after fads. Be steadfast in your devotion. Who are you following? Who do you have the bedrock of your faith? Who are you rooted in? Who do you build your foundation on? Your faith in Christ Jesus. For Christ Jesus has already accomplished everything for you. It's the fullness of God that dwells in the body of Christ. And we have come to fullness in Christ. If we're not counting on Him, if we're not allowing Him to develop us, work that sanctification process on us, then we're never going to amount to all that God has planned for us to be. And that all we count in Christ Jesus, our circumcision and our baptism, and His death and His resurrection. And Christ has paid the price for our trespass. Our records have been wiped clean. Wiped white as snow, as the song says. Why? By drops of His blood, we've been made white as snow. And it's been erased and made a lot erased. Set aside as He nailed it on the cross. And we're to be strong in our faith. The third point, be strong in your faith. Be strong in your faith. Why? In your faith in whom? In Christ Jesus, because He's already done it. We can sing great hymns, and there are a lot of hymns. Trust and obey. Amazing grace. All of those are great hymns. All of those speak to who it is that we belong to. All of it speaks to who it is that we worship. All of them speak to what you and I will never be absent Christ Jesus. We will never be complete. Be filled with Christ. Be filled with Jesus. Because in being filled with Jesus, you will be fulfilled. Shalom.